Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
From time to time, there is a prophetic word that comes here at New Life. And what I mean by a prophetic word or a message in tongues with interpretation, according to what Paul writes to the Corinthians, that of course is for all churches, and so we read and we glean from that, it talks about one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is a word of prophecy, a word where, just like the Scripture, people wrote these words, but they were inspired by the Holy Spirit to write them. Well, we know that one of the gifts of the Spirit is prophecy, one of the greater gifts. And the word of prophecy that comes is to an individual that says, you know, I feel like God is wanting me to share a message from Him to people and to those who are around, those who can hear it. And so I want to share with you this morning a word of prophecy that came to an individual here at the church. I'm not going to quote it. I'm just going to give you just a nutshell, the emphasis of it, and it's this. And this is not old. This is like a week or so ago. And the word was that God is walking among His people. Now, for some, you say, woohoo! Hallelujah, you get excited, and then for some, we go, oh, like God's walking among us. Okay? I want you to get the picture of this in your mind. It would be like services going on here. Okay? And come here, Gino. And, you know, Pastor Randy's up front here, you know, talking. And go ahead, just put your hands, however you want. He's up there talking, and you're looking at him or somewhat paying attention or at least looking at him with your eyes, but your mind's blank. You know, however you do it on Sunday, each to his own. And all of a sudden, as that's going on, Jesus is kind of walking among His people. You're looking at me up there, which I've never looked so good, by the way. I've never looked so thin. And all of a sudden, you know, that's going on, but Jesus is walking among His people. He's walking around. He's like checking it out. You know? He's kind of walking around, looking, walking among His people. Hey. And He knows you by name, Gail.
He does. Amen.
He does. He walks around. Service is going on, but He knows you by name. Walking among His people. And then you want to know the real kicker? We get up and we leave, because He finally says, amen, go home.
Amen.
Not yet, but just, you know, okay. And we get up and we walk out as if Jesus stays here. Well, He keeps walking. And He's walking through your living room and mine. And He's visiting your neighborhood. If you're here and you're from out of town, you're going, okay, I'm all right, I'm in the clear. He's got your address. And He's walking through town. And He's walking among His people. As I heard that, I thought, Lord, you know, if that's a prophetic word and that's from You, I want to think about this. I want to think about this. And I felt like the Lord began to talk to me from by His Spirit, but from the Scripture. And I thought, you know, we're praying a little more around here. We're trying to pursue him and seek him first, and all of a sudden words start showing up, or something happens by his spirit, and it's like, you know what? Something's going on. And then when I hear that there's a prophetic word that says God is walking among his people, I go, that's what this is. I want to read something from Nehemiah. Now you think, well, God's walking among his people and we're New Testament people in Jesus. I want you to know that there is a respective part of the person of Nehemiah in the book of Nehemiah that is a little bit of a foreshadowing or a type of what Jesus is and who he is. I want you to know, sometimes you have to be careful with types in the Bible, but the reality is there are types. They are legitimate. And they are types. And it's like it's a type or a message of what Christ is like, what Jesus, the Savior, what God is like, the Savior to come. I want you to look at Nehemiah chapter 2. I want you to know that Jerusalem, you know, the city was sieged and the walls were torn down and the place was burnt and ash and all of this, and the temple was destroyed, all these things. In Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 11, it says this: I went to Jerusalem, and after staying there 3 days, I set out during the night with a few men. I had not told anyone what my God had put in my heart to do for Jerusalem. There were no mounts with me except the one I was riding on. By night I went out through the valley gate toward the jackal well and the dung gate, examining the walls of Jerusalem, which had been broken down, and its gates, which had been destroyed by fire. Then I moved on toward the fountain gate and the king's pool, but there was not enough room for my mount to get through, so I went up the valley by night, examining the wall. Finally, I turned back and re-entered through the valley gate. The officials did not know where I had gone or what I was doing, because as yet I had said nothing to the Jews or the priests or nobles or officials or any others who would be doing the work. I want you to get the picture that here is the city, and it's rubble. The walls broken down, the temple's destroyed, it's just been destroyed and burnt over. And he goes over and he begins to walk among the city. Nehemiah is walking and riding throughout the city, and what he's doing is he's surveying. He's looking at it. He's looking at what's been destroyed, what's been ravaged, what's usable, what's burnt. He's going through the rubble. Is what he's doing. He's surveying. And I want you to know that God, we know that he sees everything and he is everywhere because he's omnipresent. But we also know in the scripture, and he's always been omnipresent, but we know in the scripture there were times that he or the angel of the Lord would come. And in respect for the gift of the Holy Spirit, according to the teaching of Scripture and this word that God is walking among his people, I began to look and think about when Jesus came and when the angel of the Lord appeared in different places in Scripture. I just happened to pick this one in Nehemiah, where Nehemiah is going through, because it gives such a picture of God walking among his people and saying, what's ruined? What doesn't measure up? What's been destroyed? What needs to be rebuilt? What's been lost? What is usable? What needs to just be buried? Trash? The heap? The burning pile? I just felt as I prayed about this word and looked in the scripture, I just sensed that, you know, if this is really a time where God walks among his people, I'm thinking, well, my question is, why are you walking among your people? I mean, I know you love them and I know all of that, but why would you be walking among us? Unless you're checking something out. Unless you're getting ready to do something. I remember when I lived in Hibbing, Minnesota, we had a house in town, and we decided that, you know what, we'd like to live just outside of town on some acreage. And so I went around and I was looking at property. I looked at property that had houses, then there was nothing really that seemed right. And so I started looking at land. Started looking at just some plots, some acreages, small acreages, nothing massive. You know, we, you know, had to stay within a budget and what we felt we could do. And so I started looking at land. And I found a piece of land that I was interested in. And so what I did was, there was nothing on this land. There was no buildings or anything like that. There wasn't a drive or there wasn't anything. It was just had some stakes where the property was kind of staked out. It used to be a 40. There were 2 5-acre parcels that were already purchased. And so I started looking at this other parcel. And what I did is I didn't just drive around it. I got out. I started to walk on this land. I started to walk the perimeter. I started to walk among the trees. I walked through the swamp. I walked through the high parts, the low parts. I looked at the timber that was there, and I just began to walk around. As I walked around, I started to pray. I started to think. I started to just, you know, look at all this. Then I started to do this. I started to look at where would be a suitable place to put a house. You start to do the site preparation in your mind. Like, if I like what I see, now, if I'm going to do something here, I'm going to spend some time here, and I'm going to start to look at this. Because I need this to work. I can't just say, hey, I like the land, and then go, gee, there's nowhere to build. Start looking at it, and I think, now, here's a site. Now, here's a house. A house that, you know, we could fit right here, and we could put the garage here. The house was just a ranch house. We ended up buying this land and building a house, but the house was, you know, just over 1,500 square feet. It was like just under 28 feet wide by 56 feet long. It was like 27 and a half feet, you know, that measurement. And I built a garage that was 28 by 56. So it was just a few inches bigger than the house. I did not ask for approval. It's a man thing. I figured this was my only opportunity in life probably to have a bigger garage than a house. Of course, the house had a totally finished basement and all of that. I finished that off and all those things. But, yeah, I walked through and kind of did a site preparation because I wanted to know that if I'm going to put money, hard work, blood, literally, sweat, tears, literally. If you've ever built your own home, there's a moment where I wanted to fall to my knees and tears came from my eyes and said, why did I do this? I can't take it no more. It was like the moment I turned the water on the plumbing and pipes started to blow and water was going everywhere. That was the part I had a friend do. I gave him jobs from that point on. I was grateful for his help, but he wasn't doing any more of my plumbing. But started to walk among the land and started to see where we could build something and do something and then where we would have to put the mini mound and septic system. And I want you to know, I had a 100-foot mound. Yeah, it's It's all those kids we had with bedrooms and everything, and they, you know, there were three tanks in the ground. Those of you who understand, it was three they started bringing them in. I thought, whoa, wait a minute. Aren't these for, like, somebody else, too? Sam, it was crazy. Anyhow, remember, because I felt like this was the land, this was something I was going to do, and began to plan and walk among things and make sure things were going to work. Otherwise, I was going to look for something else. I just started to survey the land. I started to see what was there, what could be cleared, what could be done. I felt like the Lord reminded me of that one in light of He's walking here among His people. Nehemiah was checking things out. Well, if the Lord's walking among us, it must mean that He's wanting to do something. I mean, we know He loves us. We know that He cares for us. We like that. That brings a security to us. But there's another part of security that comes along too that builds from there. Knowing that God wants to do something in our lives and has purpose for us in His kingdom. And God walking among His people, He's up to something. He wants to do something. I want to make sure that this land was worthy of what we wanted to do. I mean, I had a guy from the city come out when I was walking on the land. I described I wanted to build on this lot, and he pulled up the thing, and he goes, you don't want to build out there. And I said, well, yeah, I do. I don't think that, you know, the way that's laid, you can't have... I said, well, I want you to come out and take a look with me. The day I went out to talk, went to his office to get him, there was a guy who was over the region who happened to be in the office and said, yeah, we just finished our meeting. I'll go with you. It's on my way out of town. We get out there and he says, oh, yeah, this is a nice building site. Then the guy from town says, oh, yeah. I want to make sure it was worthy of what we wanted to do, that it could be done. I think the Lord, you know, the same way, as He's looking and He's walking, He's saying, you know, I want to do something here. And we know that everything that the Lord does is good, perfect. We know that His eye runs to and fro over the earth looking for the righteous. Scripture says that. The Lord comes down and walks among His people. I'm thinking, He wants to do something. What does He want to do here? And He's surveying us. And He's looking at us. I want you to hear that. Now, if you're visiting this morning, I'm glad that you're here. There's something in this message for you. Be encouraged by it. But for those who call this their home church, or you've been coming for a while and you're thinking about it, I want you to understand that if this is true, then the Lord's walking among us, then He's getting ready to do something. And we had better be mindful and not just go through the motions. If He's walking among His people and He's surveying and He's looking at the site and He's thinking, is this people, is this place, are they going to be worthy of what I want to do? And I'm not talking about self-righteousness. When I say worthy of what He wants to do, it means, are we going to say yes to Him? Are we going to follow Him? Does He find in us as He walks among us a heart and a willing spirit to respond to Him? He's coming among us and walking among us, and maybe He's just, you know, doing little things along the way just to see that how we respond, what we're going to do. Are we going to be welcoming? Or are we just ignoring the little, that we would never be faithful with much? Walking among us and He's surveying. I want to read a few verses to you from Amos, and it will be from the King James. Son, thanks for running my office and getting this. It's in Amos, it's chapter 7. I'm just going to read you a few verses. If you want to turn there, you can, but I'm just going to quickly move ahead. Chapter 7, verse 7. Thus He showed me, and behold, the Lord stood upon a wall, made a plumb line with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said unto me, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a plumb line. And the Lord then said, the Lord, behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. And I want you to know that in that context, as the Lord came down and he showed Amos a vision, the Lord appeared in the vision. We know that if you read that story, and I don't want to take it out of context, I'm just letting you know that the Lord, as he surveys and he's ready to do something, he's got a plumb line. You know, my son just asked me this, actually just the other week, whatever it was. He's asked about a plum, not the fruit, but a plumb line. And it was in light of golf. And so if you don't play golf, just skip this part and hang in there. But you'll see some guys on TV, you'll do this, or you'll be out on the green somewhere and you're watching, they're getting ready to putt the ball in the hole. And you'll see them back away and squat down and they hold the putter up in the air so the head of the putter dangles and they hold it up like this. Now, some guys just do that so they look like the pros on TV and they have no idea what they're doing. I just want you to know that. Yeah, I've had, you know, I've seen guys, oh yeah. Like, okay. A plumb line is where something is suspended and gravity pulls it straight. Okay, that's plumb, that's vertical. Okay, when you build a house or something like that, you better have a little tool. I don't care if it's a string on a nail and there's a weight or washer on the bottom. Whatever's going to pull that taut and straight, you don't let the bottom, by the way, touch the ground. Then it's not straight. You leave it dangle. And they do that with a putter on the green. They go like this and they cover part of the hole and they see which way the hole slants. Because they hold it plumb, and if it tilts, it helps them read the break for the ball to go in. Okay? That's what they're doing. So when you see that this afternoon, after you're done reading your Pentecostal Evangel and you turn on the golf and you're laying on the couch with a full belly after lunch, and you see those guys go like that, that's what they're doing. God shows up with a plumb line. Because what God builds has a good foundation, and everything's straight. Because there's a code, there's a standard. And if he starts walking among his people and he's surveying and he's looking, he brought a plumb line. That's what I discovered in different places in the scripture. This is not the only place in scripture that God talks about a plumb line. A plumb line. Are things straight? Are they to standard? Can we do something here? Is this going to be a good foundation for what I'm about to do? Will this work? And if he's walking among us, he's got a plumb line. When they started repairing the walls, Nehemiah, they weren't just like, oh, let's throw the stone up there. And no, this was going to be done right. Straight, right height, contours with the landscape, protect the city, restore it. Maybe there's some things that have been lost. Isn't that an interesting thought? Here we are at church, but are there some things along the way over the years that have been lost? Maybe in the way of conviction. Maybe in the way of hearing his voice. Maybe we've got so secure and walked with the Lord so long that we're so arrogant that we think we know. And our way of thinking is right. Can I tell you something? What you and I think is right, if it ain't right, we'll never convince the Lord. Because he's the one that's right. I don't care how loud you shout. I don't care how you plead your case. I don't care how you deductive reasoning, and there could be a lot of truth in it. I want you to know something. When the Lord's right, he's right. And you and I can think over time that we got it right. I was around longer. And we start to pull out stuff like that. As if to be right, you have to be around longer. I don't know. There are times that my son's been right and I wasn't. I remember that one time. And I've been around longer. Certainly, we should get wiser as we get older. But just because we're old doesn't guarantee wisdom. Or just because we've been around longer doesn't mean we're smarter. When the Lord shows up, He knows what's plumb. And I'll tell you, when I was building, there were like optical illusions to me. You start building rooms and putting stuff together and angles and all this, and I look at it and I think, well, yeah, that's straight. That's good enough. I don't need to get the level out. You know what a level is? It's that where the bubble's in the middle. Between the, you know what I'm talking about? It's it can be different lengths, but you know, you have a 4-footer. And you turn it this way, and there's a little tube in there that's filled with liquid. And there's a little bubble in it, and there's two lines on that tube. And when you know things are level is when the bubble goes between the two lines. If you tilt it this way, the bubble goes to the high side, right? Okay, well, you know, when you turn it this way, vertical, there's another section that's got a little tube in it. Runs the other way. So how do you know if something's vertical? If the bubble's in the middle. That's how you know I'm a level guy. My bubble's in the middle, man. Just a side note. I put that, Sam, I keep looking to you because I know you know what I'm talking about. I put that level, some things that look straight. I thought, that looks good out. All right, where's the level and where'd you put it on a building site? You never know where nothing is. Always takes you 20 minutes to find something. You put it up there and you go, oh my, that's not level. That's not plumb. That's not right. You have a doorway looking like this. That door will never stay closed. Live with it. You know, good enough. What I discovered was it wasn't plumb, though it looked plumb. And what happened was the thing that was next to it wasn't straight. And because I looked at it visually, this seemed straight in comparison to that. The plumb line. And if God is showing up and walking among His people, He's got a plumb line. Can I do something here? What's straight here? What's holy here? What's right? I'm going to walk among these people on Sunday. And then I'm going to follow them home. I'm going to follow that preacher home. Let's start with him. How's he doing? Is he going to walk worthy of the calling? Well, let's get a little more dangerous yet. Let's follow the deacons home. Let's follow these other people home. Let's follow the youth home. Let's follow them at school. Let's follow them on the job. Let's follow some of these people, not just home, let's follow them to work. How do they treat their employees? How do they talk to them? What do they do? Let's follow some of these laborers to their job. Are they working hard when the supervisor's in there? Hey, if you want to talk about plumb, let's be plumb. Let's talk about the plumb line everywhere. Because all that stuff matters. All of it matters. Because all of it's part of our worship. All of it is part of being God's people. All of it is practice for living in His kingdom. He walks around with that plumb line. And are things straight here? Where it isn't, will they let me fix it? Will they be a part of it? It's one thing to partner and build a building. It's a whole other thing to partner with God and build something in here. Many of us would say, give me the wheelbarrow and the brick and the mortar and all that. Yeah, that's fine. But don't go, not in here. He's walking among His people and He's getting ready to do something. And He's walking around, He's carrying a plumb line. Because anytime you build anything, you need a plumb line. You need to know what is straight, what is plumb. What is vertical? How are we going to build this foundation? Because everything from there is held and built on. Isaiah 28, last scripture. Isaiah 28, verse 16 and part of 17. So this is what the Sovereign Lord says. See, I lay a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone for a sure foundation. The one who trusts will never be dismayed. I will make justice the measuring line and righteousness the plumb line. Justice is a measuring stick God uses. And the plumb line is the standard for righteousness. Now I want you to know, for us to host or be a site that God wants to do something at, I want you to know it. We don't need to be perfect. You hear that? Because he's been using faulty humanity forever, as long as we've been around. But I'll tell you what does have to be perfect. The heart, the willingness to obey him, to follow him. We don't have to do everything perfect, but we have to have a heart that's willing to be perfect and follow him. And even in that, we fail. But when we fail, do we deal with it perfectly in coming to him to change, to be corrected, to be instructed, so that he can build a site for what he wants to do? Why would God bring a mighty outpouring or build something great on a faulty foundation? Why would he do something marvelous and great among a people who cannot contain or hold it or function in it? Why would he do that? When he, in the scripture, very clearly says, hey, don't throw pearls before swine. It means this: don't throw something that is valuable and put it in front of something or someone that they don't have the ability to understand its value. Why would God bring a marvelous value of his kingdom among us if we are not going to be willing to follow and comprehend and grow in it and have a perfect heart before him in it? Why would he do that? So he walks among us with a plumb line. Says, this is the standard of righteousness. Here's the measuring stick of justice. Do my people live holy? Do they follow after me in righteousness? Do they use the stick, the measuring stick, and do they operate with a just life? Because I'm coming to see, because I'm looking for a people, a place to unfold my glory, to do some marvelous things, to do some ministry among. So I'm surveying. I'm walking among them, as I have always done throughout time. We pray for a move of God. We ask God to show up on Sundays. We pray for small group studies. We desire God. We want him to do it. And now he's starting to walk among us. He's heard the request. Hey, come here. Check us out. We're not great, but Lord, we want a heart that's going to be great after you. And will you come and do something? We know you need to fix some things. We know you're bringing a plumb line. We know you have a measuring stick. We're willing to follow. We're willing to change. We just want you. We want you to do something great among us. Not so that we can look at other churches and say, hey, look how great it is here. No. It's so that we can please you and we can serve you. And then on that day, your house will be more full because there were people in this area that were reached with the good news of the gospel. There's some people that may have healing this side of heaven. There are some people who will be set free from bondages and habits because you're building something right here, that your presence is here. And in your presence, you drive out all the sin and the sickness and the disease and the corruption, not just out of sinners, but out of the saints who think they're okay. But when you lift a plumb line, they're crooked. He's walking among you. He's walking among us. How do they praise? How do they worship? How do they worship when the song is over and they're leaving? How do they worship me in the way they treat their spouse or their children? How do they treat the authorities in their life? Do they do justly? Do they love mercy? Do they walk humbly with their God? If God is walking among us, then He has a plumb line. It means He wants to build something and do something. Something that maybe you've never seen. Something maybe you've tasted of another time or place that you remember because it impacted you. It's like a fragrance from childhood that you haven't smelled for a long time. But if you were to smell it again, you could identify it. I want that fragrance back of His presence. I want the fragrance back, the taste of spiritual awakening, of those who think they're righteous, repenting and finding righteousness in Jesus again, where they started. Where sinners are treated like Jesus treats them. Where those who have seemed like they've fallen from grace could actually be restored. Gently, not condemned by the saints. Does He walk among us and think we're a cheap people or a generous people? Does He walk among us and think that righteousness matters to us, or only the righteousness that people see? Does He see us as humble, or only people who act humble, but behind it is falsehood? Are we people who talk a good game? Are we a people who believe in giving to the poor? But we don't help anybody who's poor. Or when we want to give to the poor, we want their resume first. What you going to spend it on? Where are you from? Can I trust you? And then we feel good about it. You give them a dollar. God's walking among us, and He's got a plumb line, and He's got a measuring stick. And I want you to know God wants to do something among us. And if He finds us willing to change, willing to maybe live different than we have been, willing to begin to agree with Him on scriptures that we thought we understood, we begin to walk in His Spirit. I want you to know walking in His Spirit is not something spooky. You want to walk in the Spirit? Be righteous. Be just. Be full of grace and truth. You're walking in the Spirit. And when we do those things, when we do those things that are obvious and written, the supernatural things begin to happen. They just begin to follow after you. Really? You just want all these signs and wonders? Show this sign. Show the sign of righteousness, and let's show the sign of repentance. Let's show the sign of making things right here. Yeah. And God will show up. And then we can all wonder. Yeah. Because He is marvelous and He is good. Oh, this is a gospel of grace, but it's also a gospel that calls us into responsibility. And I want you to know, you can stay saved and go to heaven and just kind of, you know, way things are. But you can also work and do some things while you're here and that His kingdom can come to earth. Yeah. See, you know what? He's walking among you. He's walking in my house. I've known it. I have felt His conviction. I have felt His encouragement. I've heard His voice. He's walking among me. Among me. Yeah. And He's walking among you. Recognize Him. Talk to Him. Let Him instruct you. Put away your piety. Put it away. Quit carrying your achievements of the past as trophies before Him, as if it brings entitlement to you for Him to come now and do something because you did something good in the past. Nah. Uh-uh. The trophy's great. Set it on the shelf. And why don't you make room for some new ones, like trophies of His presence. The crown that we get to throw down at His feet. Oh, come on. You want to talk about an award ceremony? You watch stuff on TV, people getting awards or trophies or whatever, plaques or recognition. If we get some of those through this life, it is going to be so great to just take all those things and throw them down before Him, the one who's actually worthy.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.